Well, hello and welcome to episode 39 of the Going Deeper podcast. My name is JD and I'll be your host for today. As we are diving into a series of podcasts on the new lesson series that we're doing called Go Radically. Here with me this morning as we sit down to record this podcast are Jeff.
Good morning, everybody.
And Adam.
Good morning.
And this morning we are reviewing the first lesson of the series that you you started this past week, Dad. As we walked through the beginning of the Go Radically series, this one called Radical Abandonment. Just give us a quick review and just kind of launch us into this discussion this morning.
Well, first of all, you know, we began the lesson on Sunday by just kind of defining the word radical. And it's a word that gets thrown around a lot in our culture today because we think of radical Islam or, you know, radical groups that are fomenting problems in different countries, that sort of thing. But radical is really just a belief or an action that is outside norms of behavior that are accepted by the majority. And as I thought about that word, you know, I was struck by the fact that Jesus was a radical,
sure,
especially in the religious environment of his day, which was a very rules based type of religion. Do this, don't do that, that sort of thing. And he comes in with a message of grace and forgiveness and those kind of things. And he struck the people in the religious establishment of his day as very radical. And so I began to ask myself the question, what does that look like for us today as Christians? Is there a norm of behavior that modern Christianity in America kind of accepts as the norm that maybe is not really what Jesus would have us to do or to live out? And you know, this book that we're reading in this life group study, and I would encourage everybody to get involved in this, really drives us to ask those questions of ourselves. Have I settled into a norm of behavior that perhaps Jesus would not recognize or certainly wouldn't call his followers to?
Right.
Okay. And so that's really what we're going to be looking at during these 5 weeks. It's tough and it's very challenging. And I think it's hard for all of us, regardless of who you are. If you've been a Christian any time at all, this is a challenging series to be a part of.
Now, so you left us with three pretty important points. Abandon my so focusing on radical abandonment and what it means to abandon ourselves in pursuit of Christ. So abandon my self-centered motivations for Christ-centered devotion, abandon mere belief for radical faith, and abandon casual Christianity for life-altering abandonment. And you made the statement right before we turned it on that abandon casual Christianity for life-altering commitment was probably the thing that if you had a chance to spend more time, that you would have really liked to dive into that a little further. Kind of give us a sense of where you would have wanted to go with that if you had a little more time.
Well, I think that what I called casual Christianity is something that's very easy for all of us to fall into because that is the norm.
Right.
Okay. And so we're all influenced by our environment. And when everybody's doing the same thing, we tend to just fit in. I don't know if any of you remember the movie Dead Poets Society. There's a scene in that movie where the teacher takes the students out into like this courtyard
yeah.
And he asks them to walk. Just to walk.
No further instructions.
Yeah. No further instructions, just walk. And it was amazing how quickly they all begin to walk the same.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was almost turned into like a march.
Right. And, okay. And then the other guys started clapping in mm-hmm. tune with the beat of them
yeah.
walking. Yeah.
Well, that's normal human behavior. We want to fit in. We want to be accepted.
Align with
them. We want to align with the majority or whoever we perceive as having power or position
right.
in a given environment. And so for Christians, we have to be very careful, because I think in America, there's this sense that typical Christianity involves showing up at church on Sunday morning, singing some songs, praying some prayers, listening, perhaps enduring a sermon, and then maybe dropping a few bucks in the plate, go home, and that is the extent of your Christian
engagement.
Yeah. Right. Great word. But is that what Jesus called us to? Is that casual Christianity? Is that something that requires really very little of me other than an expenditure of maybe some time and money?
Right.
Or is Christ calling us to something much more deeper, much more challenging, much more, to use the word, radical?
So if you guys could what would be the diagnostic criteria of casual Christianity? As you think about that, like, you know, kind of pan your own thoughts for a second, but what would define casual Christianity in America today? Or just, is American Christianity casual by nature? and how would we know if that's us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the word that comes to mind is complacency. I think, well, to first answer your question, I think the American culture is very much so casual Christianity. Not, I don't want to lump everybody together, but it's very much so. And it's because we become complacent. I think a question that I try to ask myself from time to time is, am I trying to grow? Am I willing to grow? If I don't see myself growing in any way, if I don't see myself attempting to grow in any way, I know that I've become complacent. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that largely across the board in the American church, is that we do, like you're even talking about, the vast majority of Christians that I've grown up around, they come to church on Sunday mornings. They attend Sunday school like they're supposed to. They put money in the bucket as it gets passed around. They go home and then they wait a whole week and then they do it again. Right. Or maybe there is a weeknight thing that they attend at the church, but it's always about being in the building of the church. And it's always just about showing up because that's what we're supposed to do. That leads to complacency a lot of times. We need to be challenging ourselves to grow. And we need to be asking ourselves the question, am I growing? And if I'm not, and if I'm not trying to grow, then there's something wrong there and we need to change that.
I think that's a great question. Right. Am I growing? I think maybe a second or a corollary question to that is am I obeying?
Yep.
Because in our culture today, it's casual Christianity to me means it's not whether I'm going to obey. It's how does this make me feel?
Right.
Because quite often I talk to Christians and they'll tell you straight up, well, this is something I'm doing, or this is something I'm engaging in because it makes me feel good. And it's like, but the scripture is clear that that's wrong. Well, it feels good to me.
Right.
Well, is that a commitment to follow Jesus Christ when you substitute your feelings for his words? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a problem.
Right.
And it needs to be addressed.
Well, and Jesus himself, you know, I remember that kind of graphic scenario where he's in front of a group of people teaching, and his brothers and his mom come to, like, you know, corral him a little mm-hmm. bit, and somebody says, "Hey, your brothers are out there, like, you know, you might want to go talk to them." And he's like, "I'm standing in front of my mother and brothers, the people that do the will of God," you know. In another passage, you know, a scary one at that, he says, "Many are those who say, 'Lord, Lord,' and don't mm-hmm. do what I say. And if you don't do what I say, then you don't love God and you don't love me." Scary, scary words.
Well, when you think about it. And it gets scarier when he says, "Depart from me. I never knew you.
I never knew you." Well, thanks, Jesus.
Wow.
You know,
that's direct.
I heard somebody say once that the best the best form of growth is done in the midst of discomfort. And a lot of times we don't allow ourselves to become uncomfortable. You know, we, of course we love comfort, you know, I mean, so, I think if you're not, I mean, even think about scripture, how many times people were called to uncomfortable situations. You think about even Moses and him being called back to save his people and how uncomfortable he was for many different reasons. He was going back to a place where he was kind of accused and
killed a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Accused and
the accusation was true.
Yeah, exactly. He's going, being put into a position where he's uncomfortable speaking in front of people, but God provides in that, of course. But like, he's going to a place of discomfort, and that's right. All throughout scripture. Almost every single person that we see called in scripture was placed in a moment of discomfort, in a place of discomfort. If you don't feel uncomfortable, then it's unlikely that you're growing, I think. We have to seek out those moments of discomfort so that way we can grow, even if that means volunteering with babies when you do not like babies, or if it's, you know, if it's volunteering at a, you know, nursing home when you're uncomfortable in those type of situations, or if it's plugging away at a keyboard in order to, you know, help out the church, whatever it might be. Like, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations helps that growth to occur.
So, I mean, when you guys say, am I growing, am I obeying, there's some corollary issues, I think, that kind of go along with that. You know, things like, it sounds to me, as we're talking, like things like Bible reading, right? If you're not engaged in that on a regular basis, then it's possible, I'm not saying it's definite, but it's possible that your Christianity is shallow. You know, because mm-hmm. if you're not growing, it's not deepening, it's not strengthening your, and if prayer is not an active and vital part of your life, if engagement with spiritual disciplines, the reason, and I think one of the things that's really important to say at that point is it's spiritual disciplines, things like Bible reading and journaling and prayer and worship and giving and silence and, you know, confession, all those things that you read about, you know, from these early church fathers and the desert monks and all these mm-hmm. people. The reason this stuff is important is not for the legalistic aspects of, have I done it four times this week in accordance with everything I've said I'm going to do? You know, if I don't do this, God is going to hate me. No, it's not that. It's, am I willing to make him the number one thing I'm pursuing? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I actually just finished a book. It's a really good one. I would recommend it for anyone. It's called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's by a guy, this pastor out of New York City, actually, named Pete Scazzaro, and really he writes from the standpoint of he went through a crisis of faith, you know, at one point, and realized that he was burning himself out, burning his family out. His marriage was in tatters, and he's serving this giant church in New York City, and he's just running ragged. And he realized that his spiritual growth was lost amidst all of the work that he was doing. It you've used the phrase before, Dad, you know, the work of God killing the work of God in you. And that's right. Where he was. And he wrote this book about how he was able through work in the spiritual disciplines and learning a bunch of stuff from, you know, Christians over the years who have really developed a finely tuned relationship with Christ, how to engage in these disciplines so that he was able to grow and reclaim a much more emotionally healthy spirituality. And one of the things that I've been challenged deeply by in the reading of that book, and something that I've begun applying to some degree or another in my life, is injecting God into everything that I do. This act of prayer, or engagement with God multiple times a day, you know, scripture, you know, at different points in the day, prayers at different points in the day, journaling, like all of these different things, you know, it's not, again, for the aspect of being legalistic about, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. That's not the point. It's, are you engaging with Christ And is he the number one thing you're chasing on a day in, day out basis that will keep you from experiencing a casual Christianity where, yeah, I kind of go to church, but it's not all that important to me. Dad, as I was talking, I was reminded of a story you told me a few years back about a guy you met from Europe. And you asked him the question at one point if he was a Christian. Mm-hmm. In our discussion of what casual Christianity looks like, I feel like that story might be a helpful one for our listeners. Once you tell that story a little bit.
Yeah, there was a young man, super nice guy, and I really enjoyed him. But he was dating a young lady who went to Good News, and they were having these discussions about faith. And he made an appointment because he wanted to come in and talk to me because he could not understand where she was coming from, this business of going to church every week and being involved and serving and all that. And at one point, I just asked him. I said, "Well, are you a Christian?" And he said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "And you know that because?" And he said, "Well, because I'm from Switzerland." And I said, "What?" He said, "Well, Switzerland's a Christian nation, and I'm from Switzerland, so yeah, I'm a Christian." I mean, this was a guy who maybe went to church when he was invited to a wedding or right. or to a funeral or something like that, but that was basically it. That was his connection with Christianity, but he thought he was a Christian because where he was from. So
right.
But you know, I think that when we talk about casual Christianity, I guess the word that comes to mind for me is surface.
Right.
It's surface. It's a name, or it's maybe a few things I do on a given week, but it's not anything that really goes to the core of who I am.
Right.
It's not a deep level commitment where I ask the question, "What does God want me to do in this situation?" Or "How do I follow Christ best as I walk through my day?" It doesn't really enter into my daily life.
Hmm. Now, I think kind of just from a practical standpoint, it might be helpful for us to. I've got a question that I want to ask you guys because I think it might give some people some examples perhaps of what this might look like. Do you guys have any examples that you can come up with from your life of people who have been radically abandoned of self-interest in their pursuit of Christ? Do you know anyone that you feel like you would say, yeah, this person was radically abandoned for Christ, and this is how I know that? Mm-hmm. If you guys, maybe one of you could, or both of you could give me an example of what that might look like and somebody from your life that you know that had that quality to them.
Yeah. My first thought is probably the first time I saw something like that. I was probably in seventh or eighth grade, something around there. And I went to a basketball camp in the summer at Cincinnati Christian University, where at the time it was Cincinnati Bible College. And there was the coaches there was, of course, the head coach of Cincinnati Bible College, and then the players that played for him. Those were the coaches for the week, and we got split up into teams. And I remember my coach that week, first day, you know, I thought he was a really cool guy, and, you know, I'm learning a ton from him as he's teaching us and everything. And then during the lunch hour, the actual college basketball players would always play a pickup game, and you could watch them. And so the very first day, I noticed that my coach, his name was Ryan Mullins, was just out of this world good, like just was dominating everyone. And I was just like, my gosh, like, why is this guy playing at CBC? Like, this guy should be at a bigger college, you know, playing. And so I start getting to know him, and, you know, it was fun because I actually got to know him over the course of 3 or 4 years, because I'd go to their basketball camp, as well as he would come to Butler Springs Christian Camp to help out as part of the CBC camp team that would travel and everything. And so I got to know him pretty well. And over the course of that time, come to find out, he originally went to college. I forget what school it was now, but I remember it was a pretty decent sized D1 school on a full ride scholarship for basketball. And he was out of this world, and he was starting as a true freshman for whatever school it was that he went to. So this is a guy that, like, you know, if he's playing and he's starting at a D1 school, there's a good chance in basketball, you know, if he doesn't make the NBA, he could go to one of a million different countries seemingly and make millions of dollars because all of these leagues across the world. And I asked him, I said, why'd you stop going there? And he said, well, during my freshman year of college, I realized that I'd been ignoring a calling into ministry. And he's like, I didn't want to ignore it anymore, so I decided to kind of forfeit my scholarship and I transferred to CBC so I could pursue ministry. And it was just like, holy cow, like you literally gave up a potential of millions of dollars, security for the rest of your life because you felt called into ministry. That was the first time I really saw something like that, of somebody abandoning, you know, even comfort for their life in order to serve. Yeah, it was pretty cool. He was a cool guy.
I think for me, there's some really easy examples, like right here at Good News. We had a young couple that served here in the youth ministry, Bobby and Brittany Hibbs, and they felt a call on their life to go to El Salvador as missionaries, and they followed that call, even though that's one of the most difficult places to live in the Western Hemisphere because of the murder rate is so high. But, you know, that's an easy example to me. But the one that immediately came to mind is my grandmother Lehman. And it was like her Christianity was a daily thing. One of my fondest memories as a child is because she lived with us. She moved in with us when I was 5 years old. And every night I would see her with her Bible open, studying and taking notes. She had the entire Sermon on the Mount memorized. But it was watching how she lived her life every day. It was a life of service, not just to our family, but she ran a ministry to the nursing homes here in Hillsboro and did it for years and years, actually until she died. And it was funny because she would talk about going to visit the old people and she was like in her mid-80s. And I finally asked her, because she took me with her one day to the nursing home, and I asked her, I said, how's that woman over there? And she's like, oh, she's 60 something. And I thought, these are the old people you come to visit.
But you know, it was funny. One of the examples that popped in my mind was Bobby and Brittany. You know, and one of the cool things is I was able to spend some time with Bobby the last time he came home, and we had a really interesting conversation where he really challenged me from the standpoint of ensuring that I spend enough time in Scripture. Because he said, JD, you know, JD, the situations you're going to deal with are so much different than the ones I deal with. I mean, because he's got kids being murdered, you know, I mean, in his ministry. I mean, he's in El Salvador, which is one of the highest murder rates in the world. And he's like, you're dealing with such different stuff. He said, but the reality is you're dealing with evil just like I am. You're dealing with the difficulties of a world that is far more complacent than my world. He said the Christians in my world have to care because everything around them is hard and difficult. Many of them are impoverished. Many of them don't have great opportunities, and they face death every day. You know, here in America, that's just not the case very often, you know, and so he said, you have to be just as equally biblically attuned. And he really challenged me personally. And it was funny because not long after that conversation, one of our own, you know, kids that's grown up here, Savannah Cameron, went down there to spend a month as a missionary with Bobby and Brittany. And when she came back, she got together with you and I for a discussion about her experience. Right. And one of the things that she talked about was literally every day, Bobby was up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and he was down in the kitchen studying his Bible and working, preparing himself for going out to serve the kids in his ministry every day, to work, to accomplish the things that he was supposed to accomplish and to do what God has called them to do there. And I was so deeply you know, grateful for her coming back to share a little bit about that experience, because it not only proved that what Bobby had told me to do, he was living, you know, but also just to know the consistency of their behavior and the impact that it's having on the kids that they're serving down there was really awesome. And I think, you know, not, you don't have to go to a foreign nation to be just as radical. You can be radical right in your home with your family, and radical in your own backyard, radical in your neighborhood and in the city. You don't have to necessarily go anywhere. It doesn't mean you shouldn't go somewhere, just that you don't have to be that radical. You just have to be that committed to growing in your relationship with Christ, serving, doing the things that he's called us to do. One final question. I just as a way of kind of personalizing this a little bit. What is one kind of radical abandonment challenge you're giving yourself right now? What's one decision you're making in your spiritual life, guys, that maybe could help inform our audience a little bit as to some of the kinds of things that they could do to radically abandon self-interest for godly interest? What's one thing you're doing right now? It could be a simple step, could be a massive one, whatever it is for you. But just what's one choice you're making right now to make a radically abandoned commitment to Christ in your own life?
I think, well, I think,
well, you moved.
Yeah. That's honestly like, yeah, that's still,
you threw your lot in with us. Yeah, that's, yeah, radical.
Yeah, exactly.
Big risk there, buddy.
I was actually going to say, like, you know, I really had this opportunity to play in the NBA. No, I'm just kidding.
That story was all about you.
Yeah. Okay.
No, no,
can
but
I have
honestly,
your autograph?
Yeah, exactly. No, but honestly, the move is still at the forefront of mine and my family's minds right now, because we're, you know, we're still even in the midst of unpacking boxes and, you know, finding the new normal for our family, you know, figuring out our daily schedules and getting our boys adjusted to this new area and making new friends. And like, so it's still at the forefront of our mind of right now, we're still in the midst of breaking what was the comfort, you know, of knowing Louisville, Kentucky as our home and being close to family. You know, my in-laws, we actually lived with them for a time. And so, breaking that comfort, breaking that security and coming up here as a leap of faith to join GNG and join the Hillsborough and Highland County community. And, that's still right there at the forefront of our mind, that we had to kind of take a leap of faith to go to an area that we didn't really know very well, where there's no people that we know very well. So that's definitely, we're in the midst of that even still. And
I want to give you some credit for that too, because you did have multiple job offers, yeah, as well.
Besides the NBA,
you, yeah, know, there's that, so, might come back to bite me one day. We'll see. So.
Yeah, you could be hanging out with LeBron. I mean, yeah, you know,
couldn't,
yeah,
you at least stay as long as, long enough to get the signing
bonus?
That's
right, yeah.
You're slumming with us now, man. I want to kind of go into that. What was it that you feel like was Jesus saying this, yeah, not these? Because you had other choices, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe just kind of help us, because that there's going to be people in our audience listening to us right now that have those kind of choices in front of them. I could do this or I could do that. How do you feel like Christ led you to that decision?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, through prayer. My wife and I, we were praying seemingly nonstop, you know, for a few months, really. I mean, honestly, not even a few months, for a year plus, when we really started considering getting back into ministry. And we had been praying about finding the right spot, a spot that would be a great community for our family, as well as a great community that we could be involved with. And the second thing was relationships. I have you know, a core group of people that I highly respect and highly trust, and people that are men and women of God that I can go to and bounce ideas off of and pick their brains. And to a T, every one of them that I went to either knew of Good News Gathering and just had amazing things to say, kind of like Keith Warner from Butler Springs, or they were able to give me words of wisdom that reassured the direction that I was kind of thinking and leaning towards. And so I think a combination of those two things, prayer and then going to and communicating with the people that I trust and know that would give me godly wisdom, were two things that really helped in the process.
Gotcha. So just kind of summarizing, one way that we can radically abandon our self-interest in favor of Christ is to make a decision that we know He's calling us to make, mm-hmm. and to follow through with it. Dad, take a look at your life, what's one kind of radical commitment element that you feel like you're trying to make right now?
Well, this has been one of those decisions that you come to over a period of time. And, you know, I'm 61 years old now. And, as Good News Gathering has grown and expanded, and, it became clear to me that God was calling me to give up the law practice that I dearly loved and enjoyed. And I was blessed, with the people, the judges and the other lawyers that I got to work with here in Hillsboro. And I loved my clients. And I really enjoyed the work that I did. And I felt like it was a valuable service, to our community and our system of justice. But I felt like in this last phase of my life, that God was calling me to focus my time and attention on the work of this church and hopefully expanding the cause of Christ in our community. And so over the past few years, I've just been slowly withdrawing, I guess you could say, from the practice of law, and closed the law office in August. And it was hard. You know, when you feel like that was a line of work that God called me to at one point in time in my life, and really when I started in the practice of law, I assumed I would work in that until the day I died. But 20 years ago, when God started Good News Gathering, he began to change my focus. I think he probably knew at that time that if he asked me to just leave the practice of law abruptly, that might be more of a commitment than I was willing to make at that time. I don't know. Maybe he was growing. I'm sure he's been growing me over the past 20 years, but that's been a major life change. And a good change, but a tough one as well.
So far both of yours have really kind of centered on major decisions that you've had to make in favor of, taking out or taking a different direction or moving in a certain way that you feel like God was calling you. I'll kind of try to go a slightly different direction with one that I've been trying to make here recently. And like I said, it comes a little bit out of that reading I've been doing in that book, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I've been making a habit. One of the things I'd noticed is my life and schedule were a little out of whack. I have a lot to do. I have a lot going on, and I felt like my schedule was just bad. I was very, I could be kind of disorganized. I could be very ad hoc, and I would always try to have God time in the day, But I found myself distracted by other things and getting stuff done. And then, you know, there are the time wasters in our life. And for me, one of those is, you know, reading a bunch of stuff about sports online and stuff like, I mean, that's a, for me, there's a little bit of that's just fun. And I allow myself that, but then there's times when it gets too much and I waste too much time. And so a couple things that have helped me. Number one, I've made a commitment, and I really have tried to follow through of multiple experiences with God every single day. So, and there's passages in the Bible about praising God morning, noon, and night. And so I really try to order my life around that over the last few weeks, where in the morning, here over the last couple weeks, I've actually been trying to do the morning time with God with my wife, you know, where we get up together and we read a passage of scripture and we learn something. That's been real recent, but we're trying that, and that's been going really well. And then I come into the office, and one of the first things I do is I journal a series of questions that I feel like God's been asking me to answer for myself, and then I plan my day and launch in. Then at noon or sometime in the early afternoon, I try to spend some time either reading or listening to scripture, praying a little bit. And then at night, I've instituted this prayer walk thing where I go outside and I just walk back and forth in front of my house and I just pray about the different things that are going on. And one other kind of super helpful thing that I'll just throw out is I was in the green room on one of the previous Sundays when I was leading worship, and one of the people in the band turns around and goes, "Hey, JD, you got to check this out. If you upgrade to the new iPhone operating system, there's some new settings that you can place on your phone that limit how much time you use certain things." And I had noticed, you know, on several occasions, you know, many days where I'll, like, you know, need to go to bed, but I'll get caught up on something online, or I'll start reading about things, politics or sports or something like that. And the next thing I know, I've wasted an hour and a half or 2 hours where I could have been sleeping, or I could have been resting, or I could have been reading the Bible. And I've got like an hour and a half of sports and politics under my belt, you know, and it's like, I just wasted so much time. And she was like, "No, look, check it out. You can set limits on certain apps and all this kind of stuff." And so I immediately downloaded the upgrade and made some really kind of stringent limits on my phone use time. And that has been hugely helpful. I've been far more productive with my day because I'm not wasting a bunch of time, because I only have X amount. Like, I think I only gave myself an hour a day to surf the internet, and that's an hour after I've used all my other apps. So, like, I've limited to, I get an hour of free app time during the day. And so if I use it all text messaging people, well, then I don't get to get online that day. And I don't get to read a bunch of stuff, and I've wasted so much less time and I've accomplished so much more, and I've been with God so much more, because I set those limits on my phone and built in multiple activities with God a day. And so, again, it's not for the sake of being legalistic. It's more because I know that I need that time with God, and I know that I don't need to waste as much time reading about the Buckeyes as I was. Yeah. Right. And so
that that limit applies to 11 Warriors.
Yes, it does apply to 11 wow. Warriors. Right.
It does sacrifice. Not apply to Bucknuts, though. Does it? Like, that's
one of her. So you're the Bucknuts guy. 11 yeah. Warriors is my Ohio State football drug. So like, it's really been very helpful, you know, cause I noticed, like, I would try to set like artificial limits, but my phone wasn't helping me at all. Right. You know, like, and so every time you pick it up, you know, you just swipe over it. And now literally every time, you know, once I've gone past that limit for the day, if I try to do it again, it will flash up this big thing that says time limit. Do you want to ignore your time limit? And I've just kind of like said, no, I'm not ignoring my time limit, you know? And the only times I've broken that are when it actually is going to help somebody else. Or I have to answer a question for somebody else. And so that's, you know, that's been really helpful, and it's opened up all this time where I could be getting something else done. I mean, the other night, just for example, I just broke out and wrote some poetry because I couldn't get on my phone. And, you know, that's a far more effective way of spending my time. You know, I'm writing, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm spending time with God, and I'm not consumed by the technology. And I big ups to Apple. Doug's over there hating me, but big ups to Apple for having the caring nature for their people to actually give them software capability to limit their time on the phone. That's pretty cool. So Doug's probably going to get off the podcast and tell me that Android's had this forever, you know, but hey, I'm just grateful, that we have these limits we can set because it has been really helpful.
One thing, I would kind of, you asked me a question of like what brought me here. And as I continue to think about that, and I don't know why I didn't think of this, but one, like I said, my wife and I started praying like months and months before we even applied here or anything like that. And the thing that we were constantly praying for is that God would make like clear yeses to us. And that was one thing that came that really helped us as it came, he was faithful in that because we prayed about that fervently and consistently. And, when it came time, it was clear yeses. It was yeses when I came in and I, you know, first interview was with you and Doug Savage, and it was yes in the sense that I was like, these are guys that I could sit down with, learn from, and have fun with, and build a community with. And then right. It was yeses. It was as I was reading through the website and discovering, you know, the GNG's beliefs, how well it aligned with ours. And it was like, okay, yes, that's a yes. And as I spoke with people who were familiar with GNG, how they had great things to say and how you guys were involved in the community, which was big for us, like it was yeses. And it was in so many ways. And then you guys literally saying yes to me and bringing me back for more interviews. It was, whereas other places that I had opportunities, for some reason, there was always just this, like, it doesn't feel right. Like there's just something off about it. And so we were constantly, we made our prayer consistent in what we were asking God to help us with and making a decision. And so that was, I guess I just kind of thought that was cool that he was faithful in that we prayed for it fervently and he answered our prayers in that. So
cool. Well, guys, we got a lot going on. Dad, the month of October is stacked here at GNG.
Yes.
With activity. Why don't you give us a quick rundown, just minor plugs for some stuff that's coming up and give us a sense of how people can get involved, because that's one great way of not being complacent in your faith.
Sure. It's going to be a very busy month. Coming up on October the 13th, we have Prep One, and that's really an environment that's designed to help anyone who volunteers at Good News Gathering, and also people who are just considering volunteering at Good News. It's an environment that helps them understand what that means here at Good News. And we use this thing we call the serve model. So that's coming up on the 13th. Then on the 20th, we have Hillsborough Not As Usual, and we're going to be doing a leaf raking and that sort of thing in Ward 3, just kind of reaching into the ward that we're a part of here. And then on the 27th, I think it is, the following Saturday, the last Saturday of the month, we're doing a fall clean here at Good News. And the idea is just to get our ministry center ready for the fall, get it spruced up, get it cleaned well, not just for the fall, but also Roots will be the following weekend. Mm-hmm. And so we want this place really looking its very best when we have a ton of guests roll in.
Not to mention, guys, we continue to roll through the Radical Lesson Series on our Sunday morning services, and the Radical Life Group Study is now ongoing. So if you're still interested in getting involved, I'm sure there will still be some groups that have some openings. You can check with the church office about getting getting information about groups. And we would encourage you guys to be in a group as we go through this study, because that's a great way of growing in your faith, is to spend time with other Christians who are swinging the hammer in that direction as well. So, guys, we hope this has been helpful to you, and we hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions, you can always shoot those to us via email at info@goodnewsgathering.org, or you can drop them on a communication card and put those in the containers in the back of the auditorium when you're here Sunday, and we will address those questions when we sit down to do the podcast. We hope you have a great week, guys, and we'll catch up with you soon. Take care.
Take care, everybody.
Have a good one.